Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Well, on Intimate Moments, it's such a great pleasure, a pleasure indeed, to welcome Professor Elijah Baloyi, the servant of the Lord, the teacher of the Bible, this evening on Intimate Moments, the Wednesday edition. And yeah, he will tell us what he wants to talk to us or teach us. Prof, good evening to you.
Good evening, Tate Mashakeni, and good evening, listeners outside there. And we are in another evening where we are going to talk about the Word of God. We just hope we are going to be so blessed tonight.
Hey, Mina, I want to be blessed. You know, Prof, when you say we are going to be blessed tonight... Prof Baloyi, tell us, what is it that the Lord has laid in your heart?
Yes, tonight the Lord has put in my heart that we must speak about the distinction between the foolish and the wise builder. Because we are living in this world and we are always trying to build whatever we are building. Maybe you are building your finances, you are building your future, you are building the future of your children. But then the question remains, what is the foundation of that building that you are trying to do? Even if it is a church, a lot of pastors are doing a lot of soul winning outside there and winning a lot of people. But what is the main aim of that building that you are trying to put together? Because in the end, we must have a foundation. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because everything must have a foundation. I must have a foundation. You must have a foundation.
Mfundisi, whenever I want to build a house, you go to the big shops. I cannot name their names. Mm-hmm. You get the material. Perhaps the builder would have told you, this is the kind of material that we need for this big building or house for you. So today or tonight, you want to draw a distinction between the wise builder and the foolish builder.
Yes.
And you are saying everything has the foundation. There must be a foundation. It could be finances, it could be marriage, it could be the church, as you spoke about soul winning. There must be a foundation. Let's get into the Word of God, Professor Elijah Baloyi, and hear what Jehovah is saying this evening.
Thank you so much. Reading the Word of God today will take place in the space of the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. That's where we're going to get our scripture. And then from verse 24 to verse number 27. And then we will talk from there. Allow me, listener, to read from the Word right now, which says, "Build your house on the rock. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Here we are learning about the comparison that Jesus Christ was doing. And this was just after he taught a very long a Mount Sermon, and then now he is making some kind of finish up from that sermon that he preached. Comparing the two men and their choices, it's Jesus teaching us to indicate to us how and where we draw our strength from. Taking the teachings of Jesus into the heart and just hearing them with ears are two different things, and they have got two different outcomes. Perhaps I must first indicate in few words that when we are seated listening to someone speaking, we cannot hear the speaker the same way. It's like when we are listening to someone preaching the word of God, we don't hear him the same or her the same way, because there are those who hear with an understanding, and there are those who hear just a voice that is passing through, and then in the end you can even ask them the next day, they cannot explain to you what was happening because they don't have a plan to employ the word of God. Now let's go to point number one and ask ourselves the question, who or who, what is it that is a wise builder?
Who is the wise builder?
Yes,
I think that will form the foundation of our, you know, smooth flowing in terms of understanding and making the listener understand. My family, who is the wise builder?
Yes.
Talk to me, Mfundis.
Jesus did not speak about those who are hearing his word to become learned. Let us try to learn these words very well. I know it's English and it's not our own mother language. When we talk about the learned people, people who are learned does not necessarily need to be wise. When you are educated, it does not necessarily mean you are wise. Here, Jesus Christ is saying he is speaking to those who are hearing his word so that they can become wise. He did not speak to them so that they can become learned. It was not about their status of being educated. We must not mix the two. There is a thin line between being educated and also being wise, or being intelligent and also being wise. There is a very thin line of difference which you must always make between intelligence and wisdom, because these are two different words. Now, Jesus Christ here is speaking about wise. He is saying, the one who hears my word and put it into practice, apply it into life situation, live by it, in other words, is the wise person. Because living by the word of God simply tells you you have got a foundation in the word of God. Everything that you do, it's found in God. It's not something that you are an architect yourself. It's not something that you are fabricating or planning yourself.
Yeah. I love living by the word, acting by the word, applying the word. Meaning that Jesus, Professor Elijah, talked to me. He wants us to be doers, not only hearers always, ne?
Exactly. Because the difference here, it's about those who hear the word and do something about it. Uh-huh. And so the first one who is a wise builder,
yes,
is the one, whenever he or she is listening from the word of God,
yeah,
it's picking it up and make it part and parcel of his or her own life.
I see.
You make it, you own it, it becomes part of, if I have to use today's concept,
yeah,
it becomes part of your DNA.
I see.
And then when you live, you are guided by the Spirit of God into his word, so that you understand the word of God. And when you do things, you first ask, what is God saying about what I want to do? Is it correct or wrong? And then you always have to root up your plan. You root up your everything that you're going to do in the word of God. That is why he's calling the word of God the rock in the Bible.
Right.
When we read, maybe for instance, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 3-4, you read about the rock. And then we go on and you read about the same rock when we get to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 2. I'm just mentioning a few of the verses. There are many that speaks to us to show us that the word of God, it's where we should put up our foundation.
Hey, my family, Intimate Moments, Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, the wise builder. Are you a wise builder? Are you putting the word of God, as a child of God, as a born-again Christian, into practice, as Professor Elijah is articulating? Stay tuned. We continue with the conversation. Intimate Moments, the Wednesday edition, The Wise Builder. I want us to start reading, Prof.
Yes.
Psalm 127, when we come back. We are still going to talk about this wise builder deeper and deeper and deeper, right?
Thank you so much.
All right.
Yes.
Hear the word and renew your life on 657 AM.
Well, we are so grateful to the Lord. Grateful in the sense that Shikwembu xa hina I Shikwembu lexi vulavulaka. And Professor Elijah Baloyi is sharing pearls of wisdom from the Word of God. Tiva leswaku the Word of God enlightens us. The Word of God brightens our way. And we are still looking at the wise builder. The wise builder.
Mm.
Prof, welcome back. Yamahlweni.
Thank you so much. Yeah, yeah, emahlweni. Hi lava ku vulavula hi this wise builder. Now hi kha hi languta nakambe we look also in Psalm 127 verse number 1.
I think it will be nice, Professor Elijah, just to read it for the family.
Yes, I'm going to read it now. Psalm 127 verse number 1. It says, "A song of ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." So we are going back to the building now. Here the word of God exposes further that the issue of building is the work of the Lord. He is building a house for us, and we participate in that building. And that is why the issue of us choosing, he give us responsibility to choose the right foundation. And the foundation, it's our choice. Because when we read the first one in Matthew, we find out that Jesus Christ is the rock, because his word is the rock. It's solid. It's a solid foundation. Now, the builders who build, it's me and you. And when we are rebuilding our own lives, we need to be very careful to know which rock, upon which surface, upon which foundation we are putting it. Because we can build, we can think we are building. Here God is speaking about those who think they are building. Meanwhile, they are not at all. Because if you are building something that will not have a future, it means you are not building at all. And when you are building your life, which you cannot explain beyond the grave.
Pastor Elijah Baloyi is here with me. Pastor Elijah, the Bible says, if the Lord does not build their house, they labor in vain, they that build it.
Mm.
You're saying the rock is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Talk more about this Jesus, who is the rock, whom we are supposed to build our foundation upon.
Yes, Jesus Christ's death on the cross of Calvary made him the solid foundation upon which we can build. Because for us to go back to God, we only have one, that is through Jesus Christ. So there is no given, so that when we go only in his name, that we can be forgiven and we can become one with God again, we can become children of God. Listen up. Please understand this. There is a difference between being a child of God and being a person of God. We are all created by God. But by the time Jesus Christ becomes our foundation of life, when he renews us by his spirit and his blood, then we become children of God. And then by that, we start moving away from our original sin, which David speaks in the book of Psalms, saying, "I was born and conceived in sin." We move away also from our own practical sins that we commit on a daily basis. Then we become children of God, because children of God must be as holy as he is.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what the word that is telling us.
Now, I agree with you, Professor Elijah. Family, let me read this verse just to qualify what Prof is saying. John the Gospel chapter 1, verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right," Mfundisi, "to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And actually you did very nicely well by saying there is a child of God. There is a person of God.
Yeah.
Kuna munhu wa Xikwembu, kuna n'wana wa Xikwembu. Here it says, as many as received him. Continue, Prof, with that.
Yes, that is why when we read our Bibles very well, somewhere in Matthew, we are even told that one day Jesus Christ said, blessed are those who are like children, because they will inherit the kingdom of God.
I love that.
To be childlike, he was referring to people who live with God as their father, not with God as something else.
They live with God as their
father.
So I love that. That is grace.
So when you look at how the child is living with the parent, then you emulate that to God. Then you become a child of God. Because in practical terms, God has got people that he created.
But
not all of them remained his children,
Lord,
because of rebellion. Now, going back to God, we must behave like children.
Amen.
Before the Lord. Like what the child. I'll just give a few examples, maybe one or two. When we speak about being childlike, we are speaking about someone who, when you want something from God, you pursue, you follow, you don't stop. You look at a child, when you promise a child, and say, even if you did not promise, but if a child says, I want sweets, before you go and buy sweets, that child will not stop crying. He will persist. She will persist. She will be crying until you get that which he wants. And when you go to another, maybe second example, a child is very much believing in a parent. Even if, that's why children are very much exploited and exposed to dangerous people. Because they believe when someone says, come, I'll give you this, they can even get into the car because they trust too much. They trust everyone. They just think you are a parent. They don't know that you have got some hidden agendas in you. So when we trust in God, we must trust just like child trust the parent. And that's why God says, those who are childlike, they will inherit the kingdom of God.
Thank you for that explanation. Childlike believing. You just believe. And I love that very explanation. So at the end of the day, we need to trust the Lord, you are saying.
Exactly. Our trust in God must not be compared with any other trust that
I
we have.
Hear you.
Not even trusting my bank account.
I
not even
hear
trusting
you.
My house. Not even trusting my father or my mother. But the trust that is with God from me must be above all the levels of trust.
Ah, servant of God, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. That the wise builder families, you can become a wise builder by building your life unto Jesus, and you'll experience the grace. Would
yes.
you say that immediately you give your life to this rock, you experience the peace as well, Prof?
Yeah, I mean, people explain peace in different ways, but
right.
the peace that the Bible is telling me and you, it's internal peace.
Amen.
I always want to talk about internal peace, not peace for just few hours, which is just given by human beings or whatever people can say, this can bring peace to me. But when we talk about peace from biblical point of view, it's internal peace. It's a peace which I will continue having even after this life, in the next life.
I will continue.
Yeah, because living with Christ, it's forever, it's internal.
Amen.
It's not something temporal.
Amen.
It is not like tomorrow I will be switched off. But it's when I believe in Jesus Christ, I become an internal child of God, meaning even after this present life that we are seeing behind the mountains, behind these buildings, behind these cars that we're driving, behind the houses that we are sleeping, after that, I'm going to have this kind of relationship continuing with God.
This peace you are talking about, it's not for now, even after.
Yes.
In other words, you are reminding the family that receiving Jesus is good because it's for eternal.
It goes
you
beyond
are
the grave.
To live this life eternal.
Yes. Yes, it goes beyond the grave.
That.
Yeah, because if we live like people who think the grave is the end of it, then we are doomed. We are not people who are understanding the word of God. That is why Jesus Christ will come back and say, but you listened to me, but you did not understand me. Because the word of God is all about listening and understanding. And when we talk about this builder, the wise builder, he listens. and then he obeys. And let me use this metaphor to explain also what obedience means. Obedience means when you listened, then you apply.
Okay.
Yeah.
Prof, we are going to start there. When you listen, you apply. Intimate Moments, the Wednesday edition. We continue with the conversation, my family. You stay tuned.
Hear the word and renew your life on 657 AM.
Well, applying the word of God, hearing the word of God, applying it, Intimate Moments. We're talking about the wise builder at the moment. And we are going to talk more about the foolish builder. Professor Elijah Baloyi is my guest, and I'm so excited and I'm so happy to have him in the studio. Prof, obedience and applying the word of the living God.
Yes, when we speak about obedience, like I was indicating before we took a small chant, the word obedience has got two things.
All right.
You listen. First,
you listen.
And then after listening, you apply that which you heard from your listening into a real life. Now, you need to be wanting to know the will of God within your life from His word. It means whatever is happening with your life, you must not question it from humanistic kind of understanding.
Right.
You must come with the word. What is the word of God saying about my situation? What is the word of God telling me about this which I'm going through? That is why even when challenges come, you will not understand them like an ordinary person.
Professor,
you will understand them spiritually.
Professor Elijah Baloyi, you are saying, what does the word of God say in this situation? If it is finances, if it is marriage,
exactly.
Because I love this statement, wanting to know the will of God within your life from His word.
Exactly.
Talk more about that.
What makes the word of God the rock? It's because the word of God speaks to our situation. Every sphere of our life, it's inclusive, it's included in the scriptures. The only thing is, sometimes you become lazy to search from the wisdom of God. And that is why I will rebuke listeners also, or remind them that sometimes you need to encourage yourself with the Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 to 8, which says, you must seek understanding and wisdom from God, because with the wisdom and the understanding from God, you will understand what must happen and what you must do in your life. Sometimes our actions are against what we thought we can do better, simply because we don't first consult with the rock when we want to do whatever we want to do. And if we want ourselves to be foundationed on the rock, we always question what the word of God is saying about my situation. What the word of God is saying about my children. What is it saying about my marriage? What is it saying about my career? Those kind of questions, we must not avoid them, because they keep you in touch with the rock. They put you on top of the rock, which is the word of God, which is very powerful.
Professor Elijah Baloyi is saying to us this evening, what is it that the word of the Lord is saying in my marriage, upon my children, in my career, in my church? So, and he's saying, Prof, we should not shy away from asking those questions.
Yeah.
Now, listen to David when he speaks. He says, Ritorawe na thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But it actually, you know, agrees with what you are saying.
Exactly. It agrees, because the word of God, without it, you are walking in the darkness. Without the word of God, you are walking as a person without guidance. You don't have a map. It's like in today's times, I would say you are driving in an area which you don't know, but you don't have that kind of a map to show you where you are going. So you will make a circle and you will get lost many times. But if you have the word of God, it's like you have the direction of where to go and what to do. And that is why qualifying it with that scripture and also listening to what the Hebrews said. They talk to each other in the book of Hebrews, in the letter to Hebrews. The writer says, the word of God is so powerful than double-edged sword. It can cut from both sides. It means when you are situated or when your foundation is on the word of God, you are sure of where you are going because it will cut through, and it means you are non-stopped. You cannot be stoppable because you are walking with the word of God.
I love what we're talking about, and we see the wise builder, my family, building his house upon the rock, and that very same rock, as the servant of the Lord is saying, it was Jesus Christ. Let me read where you have read earlier on, or just now. For the word of God, by the way, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divide or division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart.
Exactly. So it means you are very sure when you build your life upon the word of God, because the word of God is never failing.
Amen.
See where it reaches. It goes even beyond where the medical doctors can
reach.
So the word of God is unstoppable. It can fix any problem. It can fix any challenge that comes your way. It means even when the winds come, when you are standing on the word of God, you don't even dream of being moved away from by the wind.
Yeah.
You only think the wind will pass. That's what we always say as children of God. If a tribulation,
the wind will pass.
Yeah, I simply say, okay, this is a thing of just some wind. This will pass very soon. That's how we approach our own tribulations and challenges.
Amen.
We always have this faith.
Servant of the Lord.
Yeah, we always have this faith of saying, as long as I'm standing on the word of God, I am not going to be moved.
Amen.
I am not going to be stoppable. I am not going to be scared or to be afraid. That's why the word of God is full of this word of saying, don't be afraid, I'm with you all the time.
Yes. Yeah. I love when you say, when these things come, challenges, problem, we say, this thing will pass. I love that, you know, simplicity.
Yeah, you make it, actually, the way the Holy Spirit makes you understand it in a simple term. To say, this is a challenge, but it is not going to destroy
me.
Amen
for that.
It is something that is going
Amen
to come,
for that.
But it is going to go through. Yeah. Just like Jesus Christ is indicating here in the scripture that we read this morning in Matthew 7, that even when the winds came, but those who have planted their houses on top of the rock, they were not afraid because the winds passed through, the rain, the hail, and everything passed through, and the house remained standstill.
Now,
we will remain after anything that comes against us.
You will remain after anything that comes against you in the name of Jesus. I want us to look at this one. Takes this particular person who built his house upon the rock, Professor Elijah Baloyi, and the family, takes the word of God into his heart with integrity. Let's close with that one.
Yes, I like that one. If someone trusts God and trusts his word, you believe in his word, it means every word that comes from God, every word that comes from the Bible, you have a respect. You take it very serious. There is nothing like a joke with the word of God. You take it with integrity, and you know it has got a meaning in your life. And that's why when preachers are preaching the word, you say, talk to me. You don't say, talk to them, because you know it is coming to build your life. It is coming to make something different. Don't get yourself behind a preacher simply to say, Bachele babamfundis. Say, tell me, Papa. Today I'm here. I want to listen. Don't leave me untouched. When I leave this church building, or when I leave this crusade, or when I leave this service, I don't want to go the same. Touch me with your word, oh Lord. That's what you're gonna pray all the time when your life is on the good foundation of the rock, because here the word of God becomes your shield. You have it all the time. Every time you think of it, and whenever it is said, on whenever you read it yourself, you take it with integrity. You take it with that kind of a respect to say, this is God speaking. There is a difference, Tate Mashakin, from the person who reads the word of God like a newspaper and the one who reads it, who reads the word of God like the Father is speaking. Because when you read it like the Father is speaking, your listening conscience becomes different from when you are listening to the stories of a newspaper or a novel or any other ordinary book. Because here you are listening to someone with authority. That's why even the Pharisees, when Jesus Christ was preaching, they ended up saying, he is preaching like the one with authority. Because he was not preaching only his word, he was preaching the word of the Father. Right. So the word of the Father comes with that kind of authority.
Amen for that. Amen for that. Intimate moments. You know, Prof, I want us to look at the foolish builder and the lessons that we might have learned from these two builders. But we'll do that after this. We continue with the conversation, Professor Elijah Baloyi, on Intimate Moments, the Wednesday edition. We love to hear from the Lord.
Hear the word and renew your life on 657 AM.
Well, we are so excited. The final segment, or, you know, conversation in terms of what we are talking about. And I must say, the servant of the Lord, Professor Elijah Baloyi, teaches the Bible. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman which needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Loko se hiri donda rito, hiri endla rito, hi consulta rona, as he said, we become wise builders. Mm. Prof, finally, we see the foolish builder. Welcome back. Let's finish.
Thank you so much. And unfortunately, not many people would like to be called foolish. But the Bible allows us to speak about this word today to say there are those who are foolish. And we are not pointing fingers, but we are pointing at the act. And allow us to continue teaching what the word of God is saying. Even if there are not many people who want to be called foolish, the Bible of God knows there are those who are foolish. And now, within the concept of foolishness, when we read from this passage, he is telling us about those who hear the word of God and do nothing about it. Those who listen to the word of God just like an ordinary person. And even when it is preached, those are the people who sometimes will even want to disturb others who are listening. Those are the people who will always want the word of God to use or to accuse against the men and women of God who preach outside there. Because theirs, the word of God is like any other ordinary book. They read it like any other ordinary book. They can use it to argue, not use it to change their own lives, to ask God to say, change me, God, through this word. Let me conform to the standards of this word that I just listened to. Here we are talking about people who are so ignorant. Perhaps when we speak about ignorant people, an example of ignorant person you get also from Psalm 14, verse number 1, where the Bible says, fools says there's no God. Even when they are not saying it by voice, even when they are not saying it by their mouth, but their way of life tells you they don't believe in God. And this is what he is saying here. Those are the people who do not have foundation, because when they don't have a foundation, they don't understand anything. They don't even strive or try to want to understand what God is saying in their lives. Even when a preacher, as I'm preaching on the radio right now, some will just want to switch off the radio because it is not telling them what they want. And that's what we read when we go to Timothy, when we are told their ears will be itching, but it will be itching for them to hear that which they want to hear, not that which God says. But there is a difference between hearing and doing the word. And here, when God speaks about the foolish, he is speaking about those people who hear the loud voice of the word, but does nothing about that voice. They don't even want to get down to understand, to seek an understanding, to say, God, is this what you are saying to me? What must I do with this word? This are the people who despises the word of God. Some are making the word of God a laughing joke or a laughing stock. They are making jokes out of it, and it does actually, it does not talk to them. It does not have influence in their lives. But it is different from the one who is a wise person, because that one, when hearing the word of God, you start wanting to check yourself with the word of God. You use it as a mirror. Like when someone, after bathing, you take a mirror and then you look whether you are better, or you are looking beautiful, or you have done everything, you comb your hair, you used everything very well, just to check. But the word of God, it's meant for us to sharpen our lives. I liked when Tatema Sheken, you read from the book of Hebrews, that the word of God is so powerful.
Uh-huh.
It is there to change our lives. It is not only powerful to cut. It is there to make sure it can rebuild our, it can penal beat us. Just like when a car, it has an accident, and then you take it to the penal beaters, then they rebuild it the way they will. So the word of God can rebuild us. We are not beyond repair with the word of God.
I must say, I'm so excited, my family, because we are looking at the foolish builder. He despises the word of God, the foolish builder, the foolish. He undermines the advice or the counsel of the word. The foolish builder lives for themselves, not for God. And I must say, I'm so excited when you quoted the scripture that says, a fool say in God. His heart, there is no God. Now, Prof, I want us to talk about the dons, or the lessons that we draw from the foolish builder, number one, and the wise builder, and we summarize everything.
Thank you so much. Let's go to the lessons that we learn from this, the two guys here. We have got a wise builder, and we have got a foolish builder. Of course, the foolish builder will always undermine and take simple everything that the word of God is saying. Even when you tell him, go and read the Bible, they just say, ah, anyway, what will it help me? And then you go and say, look at your own life. Your life is not straight. Look at the, you live like a godly child, then things will change. It will be better for you. Say, what do I do? I must continue with my, so it's out of ignorance and despising. But now, the lessons that we learn. Number one, the word of God, according to this part of the scripture, it showed to us as a solid foundation on which our lives should be built. Actually, if you want to see yourself moving forward, moving even beyond the grave, and having that kind of peaceful life with God, whether the storms are coming or not, if you want to see yourself persevering against all the odds, against all the tribulations and the trials, you just have the word of God as a foundation. And when you have the word of God as foundation, it means you consult with the word of God. You pray about the word, and you talk the word. Even to every situation that comes to your way, you simply speak the word, and the situation will change to conform to the standards of the word of God. That is point number one.
I love the summary that we are giving.
Yeah.
Speak the word, and your situation, I must say, it will hear. Lessons that we draw from what we read. And I must say, that's point number one. Let's hear point number two quickly.
Number two, the trials which are outside there are for everyone, including Christians, including the born-again children of God. But the difference will only be seen in the end of the trials, the tribulations, the outcome. The consequences that will come after the trials will show the difference whether this one is a child of God and this one is not. Because the house which was built without the rock as a foundation, after the tribulations and the trials, it will fade away. It will be taken away by the winds.
I see.
But the house that has been built upon the word, the Bible says it will remain standing. So children of God and the people of God, the difference that we see in between, it's when the challenges come.
All right.
The challenges will always wipe away people who do not listen to God.
Let's go to number three. We are drawing lessons from the wise builder and the foolish builder.
Thank you so much. Number three. The trials and the tribulations will never and will not overcome the word of God.
Amen.
That is solid. Amen. And even it doesn't matter how big the troubles will be. It doesn't matter how sick, how deep is the sickness. It doesn't matter how big is the problem. But when it comes against the word of the Lord, it surrenders. It knows it has been victimized. It has been defeated.
I love that. Trials, tribulations, everything which is bad, it surrenders.
Yeah, it cannot overcome the word of God.
Let's go to number four quickly, Professor Elijah Baloyi.
Number four, before the trials come, it is not easy to make the difference between the wise and the foolish. These people are living together at the same place. But the only difference you only see when trouble comes, when challenges come, because that is going to separate between them. It's just like a soccer match. You don't know which team is strong unless they play together and the other one wins. That's when you know this is weaker, this is strong. Mm. And then point number five.
Yes.
Obedience from this lesson means you must listen and act upon what you heard from the word of God.
I want you to take your time very nicely, servant of the Lord. That is our last point. Obedience is what?
Obedience means you hear the word of God and you also apply it.
Amen.
If you hear it and not apply it, it's incomplete. And if you apply it without hearing it, it's also incomplete. So these two things must come together to make you a good obeyer of the word of God. We are called obeyers of the word of God simply because we hear it being spoken, we listen to it when we read, but then we also practice it. Before you practice it, you must know it's half of the job. You have not done the complete work.
Itwile Mfundisi, thank you so, so much. I can see you are still on fire this evening. Thank you so much, Professor Elijah Baloyi, on Intimate Moments.
Thank you, Ntate Mashakin, and thank you, listeners outside there. Let us build our houses or build our lives upon the foundation of the rock, not on the sand. Thank you.
The words of the Lord are words of life. Your heart is on 657 AM. 657 AM, radio for believers in action.